You open it.
All right, I will.
Just
I know,
three,
I know. Three,
two.
Stop. It has to go quiet for a second. All right, hi. Welcome to Cameron and Jared's Sports Podcast, second one of Halloween. Let's kind of delve into basketball topics a little bit, and we'll first start off with kind of overall NBA surprises. Jared, go.
My biggest surprise, I think, right now is the Oklahoma City Thunder. To me, I'm really underwhelmed with how they're playing. And I understand that Westbrook missed maybe the first one or two, you know, games of the year. That can't really matter. They had a lot of juice. They brought back Paul George. A small market team in Oklahoma City was able to surprise the Los Angeles Lakers and bring Paul George home, keep him in Oklahoma City. They are in the bottom of the barrel of the Western Conference. They are behind the Sacramento Kings. They are around where the Phoenix Suns are. That is not good enough. I don't know who you want to blame. You can blame Billy Donovan. You can blame Paul George. You can blame whoever the heck you want. But things got to get righted in Oklahoma City fast, because I don't care, you know, if it's not even November yet and the NBA regular season ends in the first few weeks of April. You can't let games go by in the Western Conference that you should win. You can't lose to teams you should beat.
That is literally what I was going to say about the Lakers, though.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about the Lakers?
They
missed Ingram for four games, and they missed Rondo for three games because of a fight. It was pretty dumb.
But if LeBron is the leader he's supposed to be, right? Shouldn't he be able to lead, to be a collective team? Like, he's already been with the team a month and a half. They should be more collective. They aren't collective. Rondo threw the ball out of his hands the last game that they lost. You know, they just don't look well together. Yes, Lance Stephenson looks good.
You shouldn't be around me when my patience is running out.
Like, first of all, you need to take a chill pill, reporters. Second of all, LeBron, you need to calm down too. Because guess what? 2-5 is not the end of the world. Yes, it is a bad start, but 2-5 is 7 games out of 82. Let's say you start 4-10. There you go. There you have a problem. But we see teams all the time, bad first halves, because they're not playing. This team is reshaped, is a really different from the team 2 years ago even. It is so different. The team just has to learn how to play well with each other. Rondo's on a 1-year deal. You're trying to take these young players, put them with LeBron, but while at the same time you're having these intermediate pieces with Stevenson and Rondo to fill the gap a little, because those young players aren't really playing as great as they could because Lonzo's getting better and whatnot, and so is Ingram. But come on, take a chill. That's my surprise. My surprise is y'all are freaking out that it's the end of the world with the Lakers. It isn't. Yes, maybe they'll only be a 7th, 8th seed in the West, but that's what I was thinking the whole time.
So you're not blaming LeBron James for? Are you blaming LeBron James?
No, I'm blaming, like, him partially and just the team in general.
I don't think it's at all possible to blame LeBron James. Looking at his statistics, he's averaging 27, 9, 8, and 2.
They're not
50% from the
field. They're not running a well LeBron team. Ty Lue knew how to run a LeBron team. That's why he's out of Cleveland right now. That's why he's out, because he doesn't know how to coach anything else.
I think that what LeBron is realizing is the Western Conference will not be easy. In the first 7 games that they've played, in their first 7 games, the Lakers have played about, technically, 5 teams that were in the playoffs last year in the West. The Nuggets literally played on the last game of the year against the Timberwolves to see who would make the playoffs. And then the other team is Phoenix, an improved team from last year, with one guy who I think is another surprise. Not a surprise, but DeAndre Ayton could have been in the league last year. He is physically so a freak.
Good.
You just plug him right into this NBA, and he feels like he's a vet.
Well, I think that's too. That's kind of like the Shaq mentality. He's just so, he's a big guy. He can get rebounds well. And I think in our league, especially fantasy points, but in the NBA league now, if you can go up and get a rebound, that is value. Like, that is truly value.
You need
Whiteside, 26 rebounds. 19 rebounds the other day. That is a lot.
Every team benefits from having that one player, whether it's a Whiteside, an Ayton, a Drummond, guys like a Towns, guys who can just Capella, who are just great rebounders and don't make you worry about getting the ball. And once they get it, then they work on that outlet pass like a Kevin Love, where they just get that thing going down the other side of the court, because all that matters in basketball now is how fast you can run and how quickly you can shoot up a three.
No, something that surprised me, it's not really a surprise, something kind of saddened me was that Kevin Love got hurt.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I wanted the Cavs to succeed without LeBron. And also, I wanted to see that old Kevin Love. I wanted to see where he dominated a team. Because let me say something, they could have made the playoffs if he doesn't get hurt. If he doesn't get hurt, they still have a chance at making the playoffs. Just because you have good young talent. George Hill's coming back. Rodney Hood. There's young, good players on that team. Nance is good. Tell him in 3 years, he'll be an all-star. Larry Nance will be an all-star
in
3 years.
Maybe definitely in the East.
He'll be an all-star. But that Lakers thing, like everyone freaking out, that is surprising me. That everyone thought that they were going to be like the freaking Golden State Warriors. It's a bunch of C-plus B players coming together and one A player. And you're thinking there, oh, they're going to be the two seed? Are you, like, not you, but like everyone's thinking the two seed? There's no way they can be a 2, 3, 4, 5 seed with that league.
I think that a thing that's happened is everybody just expects LeBron James can take anybody against anybody. And no matter how difficult it may get, he will get it done. And he will lead a team to anything. Whether you ask him to get to the NBA Finals, to get him a good seed in the division, it's just a given. This is LeBron James. He's the best player in the world. We expect this from him. But you're realizing it's the damn Western Conference. Teams who are well over 500 can barely fight for a sixth seed. You can't expect LeBron with a team that he's never played with before, players who he's never fit with, and you can't ask for guys like Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, and Josh Hart. Ingram I'm keeping out because this is now his third year, and this should be the year, I think, for Ingram to make that step to a guy who fights for an all-star team. But you can't expect guys like Lonzo and those young guys on their second year
Kuzma, Hart. You're expecting Kuzma and Hart to score 20 every night. It's impossible with the minutes they're getting.
It's not fair.
And it's not fair. And, you know, I'm thinking, yes, Lance and Rondo and Javal, they're all smart people. You know, yes, Javal is smart. Oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah, you think he's stupid, whatever. But JaVale McGee is a smart player. Lakers surrounded their team with a smart bunch of guys. But
definitely.
To show the younger players how to do it. But they're just not there yet.
No.
It's a B team. It's a B-plus team.
And in a league where you need an A-plus team to win, and an A team to try and compete with the A-plus team.
Yeah.
Because we're not talking about 96 A-pluses. We're talking about 100, 105 with the extra credit. You need every single thing to go right for you to just try and beat Golden State. We saw last year, Chris Paul wasn't healthy.
Wasn't healthy for those last two games, and they lost. They were up. They were up in that series. That kills me. And you know, and then you also, let's go back, because we haven't talked about this yet. But let me say something. If the Rockets don't go 3-for-26 or how much they went, if they don't go 3-for-26, they don't lose that game. They had the lead, and the Warriors weren't shooting the ball that well that night. And then they're coming off the court like, oh yeah, we're the champs. Yes, of course you're the champs. You're playing the Cavaliers with LeBron James and a bunch of bums. All right.
I think that the Golden State Warriors, everybody can hate them for one thing. But one thing that I really respect out of them is they may be one of the best third quarter teams of all time. They come out of the locker room, whatever the deficit is or whatever the lead is, they know what they're doing wrong and they know how to correct it. And they come out of halftime and start in the third quarter, and a team may, you know, need a minute or two to get a few shots up. Well, if you need a minute or two against the Warriors to get ready for the second half, you won't win. Because in those first 2 minutes, they are running down the court, shooting threes, setting good screens, getting their players open. They know what to do. Now, one other thing of the season that has been interesting has been the team up north. The Minnesota Timberwolves are in a difficult situation. Before the season last year, you could have easily convinced me that they were the team that was going to compete with the Warriors. Wiggins, unmatched potential, Karl Anthony Towns continuing to progress, and you get a guy like Jimmy Butler.
Taj Gibson, too.
And at the Tom Thibodeau, highly respected for his coaching. We sit here a year and a half now, and it's a question of what has happened? What is the problem in Minnesota?
They do not fit well with each other. Karl Anthony Towns wants the ball. Something that Harden and Chris Paul did that's so underrated is they shared the rock. You know what I mean? They knew how to play basketball together. But let me say something. Timberwolves don't know how to play a team game. Wiggins is upcoming. He should be Jimmy Butler by now. He should be. He should be at his level. But he's not. And I think he feels held back by Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler wants out. I do not blame Jimmy Butler. Because Jimmy Butler either wants to be on a team that is well coached, that plays well together, that's not one-sided. Jimmy Butler wants a team that's not going to have three other supposed to be perennial all-stars that want the ball in their hand. Yes, you can share the ball with Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins, but when you add Jimmy Butler in that equation, it gets hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you think about it, if they didn't do that trade with Cleveland way back then, Wiggins for Love, maybe it'd be a different scenario. Maybe, this is really hypothetical, but if Jimmy Butler was on that team with Towns, Love, and Jimmy Butler, like, that team could work. But I don't see Jimmy Butler in a spot where basically three... And plus you have Jeff Teague on that team and Derrick Rose, who, by the way, that's a big surprise. That's not a big surprise, but I should have brought that up earlier. He is a Sixth Man of the Year candidate. He is playing so well, 14-5-5 so far this year. That's pretty good.
For a guy who's had just everything taken away from him, it feels like at every moment that he's just ready to go.
I remember he had a slogan about 4 years ago that said, never break. And I said, don't you use that slogan. And then there went his career.
So now, as we look at the current NBA standings, we see some interesting things starting to develop. Milwaukee and Toronto lead the East 7-0, 7-1, with Boston and Detroit slowly not far behind. And then we get to see an interesting team who has been a middling team at the bottom. The Washington Wizards are 1-6.
They're lost. You know, Bradley Beal said something last night after the game. He was talking to a player on the other team. I think I read this on Ball God's post. But he said he was complaining about a teammate. They didn't hear who, but they said...
We know who Bradley Beal is complaining about.
We didn't hear who, but the reporter was overheard his conversation complaining about a certain player and that this player is corrupting the team. It's kind of...
It's a foregone conclusion.
Like John Wall is, yes. John Wall is like the kid in your high school who's always trying to buy your friendship. You know what I mean? John Wall bought them all a Rolex watch. He's trying to create a chemistry, but no one likes him. He's a bad teammate, and he's just not a great guy, let's be honest. And he's not a good player for that team. When we're looking at the standings, what do you see that's kind of really important?
I think something that's interesting is in the West, we're getting to see some of these great teams playing each other and beating each other. So that may be the reason that you have teams who should be better than others at, you know, middling places. One thing that's interesting is currently in the 8th seed, we have the Sacramento Kings, a laughingstock of the NBA for about the last 15 years. A team that has gone through many restarts and rebuilds. They're trying to find an identity of a team that runs up and down the court, led by second-year guy De'Aaron Fox, who's having a great start of the season. Marvin Bagley's playing pretty well. They are getting some complimentary play out of some of their role players, like Willie Cauley-Stein, Nemanja Bjelica, Iman Shumpert. They're a interesting little team, but what I will say is, you're not who you are in October. You're who you are in the middle of February. And let's just see where the Kings are when they're playing their 60th game, their 55th game.
Yeah.
This isn't.
This shows how good the Western Conference is. Like, when we sit here, this guy,
Nemanja Bjelica?
Yeah, Nemanja Bjelica. He is... when you watch, I watched the end of a Warriors Kings game. He is a good player. Yeah. He beat when they played the Wizards the other day and beat the Wizards. Yeah. Like everyone was like, "Oh, the Kings beat the Wizards." Blah blah blah. But let me say something. Like they were playing pretty well against them and matched up. If they were in the Eastern Conference, you know, you never know. This is the problem with. This is why I like baseball. It's not East and West. It's not location versus location. Besides Memphis. It's about like just the way the leagues are and it doesn't matter where the teams are. And like Yankees play the Angels 6 times, just as much as they play the Mets. And I think, you know, that's like something basketball has to fix.
Yeah, I think that you have some problems in basketball about level of difference in level of play across the league, and it's an issue. That's basketball. That's our little NBA season update, current info. We are going to start getting more into basketball and football as the baseball season has ended. We'll still be talking about those free agents and wear big names and as the MLB offseason progresses, but we will be getting into basketball, some of the intriguing storylines, because in basketball, the stars shine no matter what. And when they're at their highest, it's incredible. When they're at their lowest, it's also something to watch. So we'll see you next week, and that's that.